his share of the shir. It's sponsored, and the learning is going to be Lili Nishpas, Ezra ben Mazal, in the Shomashav and Aliyah. So, what I would like to do is to take a few shiurim and speak about a few very interesting subjects. And we'll start to discuss Yerusha, intangible Yerusha, so something that you can't really put your finger on it. Right, we'll do one shiur possibly on Yerusha in Tovas Hanoah, Yerusha on something which is like a tzchut, Yerusha to a right. They will do a shiur on Yerusha on mitzvahs. You know, a person in a shul has a chazakah, that he has a certain mitzvah. So is there Yerusha on that too? And so on and so forth. But what I want to focus mostly on in this shiur, to start to define this subject, is today talk about Yerusha for chazanim, right? The balei tefilot, right? Could a person say, I'm the chazan, so it goes to my son automatically? Can a person say that I am the president of the shul, still to my son automatically? Right? Who's the president? Huh?
Not here.
He's not here, okay, so we can talk about the subject. Careful of this. I was afraid we... Huh?
My husband's the opposite.
Well, the president wants to give it away. That's why he's a good president. You know, Bereichman, I covered, he covered, you know, the Tom Lechon of Rocha once asked us, he said, because a person that runs after kavod, the kavod runs away from him. The person that is running away from the person that the kavod runs after him, he's running away from the kavod. So they're both equal.
Nobody has it.
Huh? So they're both equal. So nobody has it. So as Tom said, that the person who's running away, once in a while, they can turn around. Let it catch up. You're running after it, you'll never catch it. But if you're running away from it, so once in a while you can take a glimpse over your shoulder to see how you're doing. Maybe it can catch up to you. Yeah. But the point is, so we'll go through these different positions, the Rosh HaKohol, or the Rosh of the community, the Rabbi. And when we say Rabbi, there are different types of Rabbonim, there are Dayonim. So do you say that there's a concept of Yerusha, just like there's a concept of Yerusha in general, you know, Yerusha by monetary
items. Kehillah.
What's the story with the Kehillah? We got to talk about all these subjects, right? You've had some tshuvas.
Yes.
There are hundreds and hundreds of tshuvas written on this subject.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I want to do this week. And then next week, once we establish the Gedorim, I want to next week go. We'll see next week. I don't know exactly what my schedule is, but the next shiur Be'ezus Hashem, I want to go a step further into the subject. And the next level I want to do on the subject is to start to define and figure out and what is going to be all the different situations would have been tzuchim and arguments and dinatayris amongst Rabbonim and siblings and son-in-laws and the Rabbonim and grandchildren and older brothers and younger ones and so on and so forth. So it should be an interesting couple of shiurim to discuss these subjects. But now, question number one. So your father is a rabbi, your father is the president of the shul. What does that have to do with you? Does it belong to you? You say no.
Why not?
Why not?
It's not something that he owns.
He doesn't own. Okay.
The Kahal chose him.
So the rabbi has no rights. Right? That's what you're saying to me.
Does it depend?
They had an interview process.
Right. Why don't we go back to the old days? Not here, in... The old days. Your grandfather was a great rabbi. They were the rabbi of the community. Did you also say that that's it? It's a little different. Huh?
Well,
a little different. Why is that different?
How does the rabbi of the community become the rabbi of the community? How does it work?
Usually, the one before had the previous rabbi, before him, appointed him.
Well, are you telling me that it wasn't usually, excuse me, a father and a child?
Not always.
No. Very often. So what are you going to say? It was probably done on merit.
I don't know.
And what happens if the rabbi's son knows how to learn just about as much as the other Talmud? Who did the rabbi pick?
Son.
So you are already conceding that there's a certain level of a right that the person should be able to give over to his child. Right? So you're not totally closing the door on the subject.
There's a battle on the type of kegula. If a rabbi comes to a place, mm-hmm. to a town, there's no kegula there whatsoever,
mm-hmm.
and he starts to build.
Okay. So then the rabbi owns the kegula, right?
Does the rabbi own the kegula in that situation? And he.
If Simon's coming from a very different angle, Simon's saying, maybe sometimes the rabbi can own the kegula. Or let's talk about here in Flatbush, what happens most of the time. Right? Most of the time what happens is the rabbi wants to have a congregation. So what does the rabbi do? The rabbi gets himself together 10, 15 people. He says, listen, I need you to join me for the minyan. And he goes and he starts to raise funds, and he goes from one to the other, and before you know it, he has a shul. And out of the shul, and the rabbi is giving shiurim, and the rabbi is speaking to the congregants in the shul, before you know it, there are 50 people in the shul. So Simon is raising a different point. Mr. Ashkenazi said before, whoa, one second. The community hired the rabbi, so we own the rabbi, right? And we rule if the rabbi should continue or not continue. And Simon is saying, well, let's go the opposite. Maybe it's the rabbi that owns the shul. But then you say, but we paid for the shul, but at least let the rabbi be a sort of a partner or something in the shul. Right? So you see, now, I want to tell you, the next few shiurim that we're going to give are not going to be negei halacha l'maaseh. It's not a halacha l'maaseh, but it's just so beautiful. You know, we gave so many shiurim on Yerusha, and we spoke about halacha l'maaseh. Why don't we open our minds and see a few new concepts and that usually, you know, we're not privileged to learn about these things. So it's just beautiful to learn the concepts. So really what we need to do is to go back a few steps and start to research what happened with the earlier Gedolim. Let's look at the Torah. Does the Torah ever have a concept of having the position that passes to your child?
Kuna.
Kuna. And before Kuna,
did not pass it on to his children.
Great question. I was waiting for that. That was a must.
Mm-hmm.
What happened? And by the way, did my Shravena want to pass it on to his children?
Of course.
How do you know? The Midrash, where in Parshat Pinchas, on Yifkoy Hashem Elikei Haruchas L'chol Basav, Asher Yetzel Lefneim V'Asher Yevim, when my Shravena speaks, he says, let's bring a person in to lead Kal Yisrael. So my Shravena says to Hashem, you know what he says to Hashem? He says, Hashem, to lead Kal Yisrael, you know what to lead Kal Yisrael? He says, my children. And Hashem says, what? What are you talking about? He says, Yeshua ben Nun went and he swept the floors and he took him to Beit Midrash, so Yeshua ben Nun is going to take the position. So you see, Hashem was the first to tell Moshe Rabbeinu that your position is not going to your children. And why not? Why did Moshe Rabbeinu not? We're talking about Yerusha in the concept of Rabbonis, or in maybe Rosh Hashiva. Rosh Hashiva has a right to pass out a position to a child, or a Chazan in the Beit Medrash, or the Rosh HaKohol. This is what we're discussing here. So interesting. We really need to discuss that. And there's a lot written why Moshe Rabbeinu was not zoicha to pass on the Yerusha to his own children. Let's get to that. What?
The kingship, Melucha.
Okay. So the first source is Melucha. Okay?
But the Melucha originally was not to be transferred from father to son.
No?
David HaMelech. And David HaMelech, Hashem told him special, because you were my Adi, I'm going to give it to you.
Excellent. So actually, everybody's throwing out phenomenal points here. Phenomenal. But he also just made a statement. What was the statement he just said? I'll get to you in a second.
So
he's just throwing out another angle. It's very important before we approach the subject to think of all these angles. The Gemara says, Kesef Torah Munach, Kolorois and Lizum Yitzel. That Hashem went and he put the Torah out. Anybody can learn. To learn Torah, your father does not have to be a Rav or Rosh Yeshiva. You have a right to Torah, and therefore it's not something that goes to Yerusha from generation to generation, right? So the Gemara says, "His Sahari with Ne'aniim, be careful with the poor people's children. Don't start up with them. Then him takes the Torah. Torah is not a Yerusha. Anybody can be the rabbi of the community. That's what it says clearly. So what's going on over here? And now Simon throws out another point. What's your point that you just mentioned?
David was special.
Well, was he really special? Why do you think he was special?
It was meant to Yehuda, but
yeah,
it doesn't have to be David's family necessarily, because it's somebody else.
It could have gone to somebody else.
Yehuda.
Okay. But there is a halacha, and here's what gets a bit tricky, that in Melech, who becomes king, the king after him is his son. Melucha works with Yerusha. That's the first thing. Now again, you got a problem. If that's the case, why did Hashem make all these special promises to David HaMelech that the Melucha will not leave your children if it's Yerusha anyways, right? And there's really another question that all of you should be asking me. Anybody that learns in the Sefer Rosh Hashanah, the Gemara says as follows. When is Rosh Hashanah l'melochem? For the kings. So the Gemara says, which month of the year is Rosh Hashanah l'melochem? Then the Gemara says, what's the difference? So the Gemara says, because if the previous king died, when do you appoint the next king? If Melucha is Yerusha, like we're saying, so then it's automatic. It should go from father to son. Right? So these are all the issues that we need to address. So take a look at the first page. I'm first going to read to you the Rambam. The Rambam is sorry, but there was a confusion with the emails this week, so we didn't. He said this week is vacation week, so it's vacation week. You can do it without the Imam Kainos this week. Oh, come in. So let's discuss this. We're discussing Yerusha with Rabbonim. So it says with Rabbonim and physicians, if it's Yerusha or not. So the Rambam says as follows in Melochim, Perik Aleph Halacha Zayin. The Rambam says Kishemamidin Hamelech. The Rambam is going to address David, by the way. The Rambam is going to address this. Kishemamidin Hamelech, when you anoint the king, Moishcha Noishcha B'Shemen Hamishcha. You have to go and you have to put on him B'Shemen Hamishcha. And Shenema, like it says, Vayikach Shmuel Espach Hashemen Vayistach Aroisha Vayetchei. He may acha, he get ready for the Rambam. The Rambam is going to take you for a ride. He may acha shemoishchan amelach. Once you take the king and you anoint him, harei zezoicha, the king has the tchiya and the rights to the melucha, loy for himself, in levonav ad oila. Melucha goes to the king, to his children. So this is the first introduction we have that a position belongs to a father and a position gets transferred down to children. Shahamalchis Yerusha, because being the king is the Yerusha. What? That Simon, Andrew just answered your question. Where is it going to be? Why did David HaMelech, David need a special bracha that his children should replace him for the kingdom? So the answer is, what happens if your child is not a roi lekach? Your child ends up being, what happens? And this is where it gets a bit tricky. Who makes that decision if the right, but later everything turns corrupt. So once everything turns corrupt, so we have no question. But we're talking about before corruption, right? I mean,
well, and it tried to out and it worked, tried.
Sure. There are all kind of questions of what it takes. Shenema, like it says in the pasuk, leman yarich yomim al mamachoi. The melech hasri hu ivanav bekeir Yisrael. Right? And by the way, those two words, Beker of Yisrael, are big, big words, because we're going to soon see that Tosfos writes in the Sechta Soitet after Malach Amid Beis that from who Yivonah Beker of Yisrael, we learn that not only when it comes to Melucha, to the kingdom, is it passed from generation to generation, but rather Beker of Yisrael, any position in Klal Yisrael, gets passed from father to child. The character of any position. Who Ivanav? But again, is it every position? No. Many positions. We'll have to go through this and see which one. But finally, it opens your eyes. That's why I said this topic is going to be so fascinating, because, you know, I always enjoy when we say a Shia on something which people are not familiar with, because the only ones that ever learn these halachot are those that sit down usually to a din Torah between different rabbanim to see. I mean, this is a very obscure topic. You'll see over the next few weeks as we go through it. It is just fascinating to learn all of these halachot that are not commonly learned. You know, these halachot are like a mitzvah. You know, it's like a big mitzvah to learn them. People have to learn them. So he says as follows. Look at the Rambam says. He says, now this is extremely important, the next line, because this will be important in the next few weeks in the shiur. V'chol ha'kodim b'nachala, the Rambam says, there's an order of operations in the nachala, which means just like by Yerusha, goes first to the son, after the son goes, right, moves on, father, right,
brother.
Daughter. Well, we should talk about daughters too, because of course, mm-hmm. How many even parents are we going to start seeing between the son-in-laws and the son, who becomes the rav? It's very important to talk about the role of the daughter in Rabbanah.
If he's saying that, then daughter comes after the brother.
Our daughter comes after the brother. And what happens And what happens when there's a daughter and there's a son that's not alive and he has a son? So it's a grandson or a son-in-law. Who gets it?
Grandson.
Huh?
Grandson.
Well, we're gonna have to talk. And what happens when the son-in-law took over as the Rav because the grandson was too young, and then the grandson gets old and he turns to his uncle and he says, I'm a son, I'm the Irish, so can I take over? I'll start to show you the tshuvot which took place, actual real stories that took place in the subject. It is absolutely fascinating. That's why I want to read these words of the Rambam and focus on every word of the Rambam so far.
In that
specific community, they're both sons. What happens is, and where it gets a bit complicated, very often there is each one of the children gets certain positions while the father is alive. You just right, you know. Again, you know, you can relate to this, you know. Chacham Avadi should live till 120, and his children already also are leading. You understand what happens is, as you take a look, as the children get older, and the children become gedolim in their own right, so they also get positions of leadership. So they become questions, because if you read the simple Rambam would be that if it's Yerusha, and Yerusha of Rabbonis, in simple understanding, should go to one child and finish, because you can't. There's no two Rabbonis. Maybe yes. Is it split? Is it singular? But then you suddenly have to start to view and say, one second, what did the child do when the father was alive? So he already had sort of what's called a foot in the door. And then there's our very unfortunate situation, which is going on in other circles today, that there are certain Rabbonim that as they get older, they became not well. And their children became the Rabbanim while the father was still alive. So can you say now also it only goes to the older sibling? Probably not. That's another big issue. And another big issue, which I won't talk about by next year, but maybe we can talk about that by a different year, the Kihila themselves. What's their, if they take a vote, and they like one over the other, or if they're split. So, what percentage belongs to the Rav? What percentage of the decision belongs to the Kihila? All of these questions need to be taken into account before we can make decisions. That's why I was just throwing all these points out as we read the Rambam. So you should see from the Lashon of the Rambam what he tells on many of these issues. He says, now, Ba'ben HaGodol Kardin L'Kotam Yimani. The big brother comes before the younger brother. This is the interesting concept in Yerusha, because Yerusha is usually something which goes to all the brothers.
Except by the Cholah,
correct. But I guess the Melucha, right? Ain't say Melucha Mishnam Shem B'Keseret. So there's one Melech, and that's it. You're done. Once you anoint one king, it's finished. Alright? Now, and it says, now here's the line of the Rambam which we're waiting for. V'loi ha-malchus b'uvat. Not just the kingdom. El-kol ha-sroret. Let's read these words very carefully. Not just Melucha goes over from father to son, but every tsroros. What does that say for the word tsroros? No, tsroros is leadership.
Yeah,
leadership.
Mayor.
Huh? You know what Tosfot says? The example of leadership is? You know what Tosfot says? Dayanim. The Abbezin, he writes. The Abbezin is something which is transferable to children. The Makin Birtsua, right? Tosfot writes. In those days it was the Shoftim, the Shotrim, right? The Shatrim were those that used to beat up the people that didn't listen in the olden days to the ruling of the judges. That also went over Yerusha. Because that was a position of Sroro. That was an official position. I don't know why a father would want to give that to some, but I guess that was also a position, you know?
Table.
Huh?
Table.
The table. Yeah, I what's that? Yeah, I can't see any other reason a person would want to take that position. All right, listen, you know. Because I can tell your children, if you don't pass your regents in school, you know, when you get older, you're going to have this and this position. You know, you tell them, you know. So I guess that's what it's all about. Okay, I tell you. So you said as follows. Okay, and it goes, the Chol HaMinuyin, also, all appointments. All appointments in Klai Yisrael. Yerusha Lebnoi, Ben Benoi, Ad Olam. Okay, now suddenly, now that we've read this introduction, Moreover Rabbi Yisrael, Yerusha and Rabbanit is a very, very serious thing. It's not just something which the Rambam feels. Okay, this is not something which is just which is some fiction. It's a real thing. The who now comes Simon's point. Simon says, "Well, one second. What happens if the child is not worthy of being a rav?" Right? Now, there's two reasons a person could be not worthy of being a rav. What are the two reasons? He's not a talmid chacham. That's one. Or he's not a yirei shemayim. Two problems that can be. One can be if you have a son. The son is a tremendous talmid chacham, and he'll be the great replacement for his father, the chacham. But what's the problem? He's not learned. He never learned. So what kind of chacham is he if he never learned? Another situation is, yes, son learns a massive amount. He's a big talmid chacham. But there's another problem. He's a kal, not a fine person. So what do you do in these two situations? Right? That's going to be the next situation.
But that's only with the Rabbanut. But he's just anything in between.
Same thing. You want a king? Fine, talk to him about Hamela.
I would say that this guy is going to what? I don't
know. He better be a Yirei Shemayim. Because, listen, you will need a person in that type of position should be simply carrying out the Beis Din's wishes. A person on his own is going to be some tough guy who's going to use it as the ability, like you said, to have brass knuckles and to beat people up. You'd be in tremendous trouble. You need a Yirei Shemayim. The appropriate Yirei Shemayim for each of these positions is extremely important. So the Rambam says as follows. He says, the chol mi, she'ein ba Yirei Shemayim, a man that's not a Yirei Shemayim, even though even though he's very intelligent and he knows he could be a chacham, right? Meruba, ein memanim oisir leminim min amenuyim shavitro. None of the positions. The child is not a Yirei Shemayim. He does not get his father's position. Period. All right. Next, kiven shenimshach David. Okay, we'll go back to David Hamelach. So what happened? Docha bekes amalchus. So the Hamalchus loyel of one of his chorim adolam. The male descendants of David Hamelach get the malucha forever. Shenema kisacha yienochan ad oylam. The loyzocha el lecherim. The appointment of being the descendant of a king, that you also can be a king, is only if you're a kosher, you're an erlocha person. Shenema im yishmeri banecha berisi. Ava fish loyzocha el lecherim. But if he curses a malucha mizere David oylam. So what's the guarantee that David got? Not that every one of his children will be. No, but forever one of his descendants
to be kasher, to be in
where in shevet in from zera David. All right, obviously zochah and lechemer starts and lichem zera David. I could have broken the sticha b'kach. Shenem and yazvi bonet terosi b'shvat leilechem b'kach b'shevet. Okay, now the chaz they offer my hand. So which means the only reason why it remained by David is because Hashem gave him a promise that your children will always be Yirei Shemayim. There'll be somebody in your descendants that will be Yirei Shemayim. But if not for that fact, and if at some point it came to a point to Melech, and the Melech was not a Yirei Shemayim, they would lose it. Okay? So by the way, that's some Sefer writes a very beautiful point. He says, we asked a question before. The question we asked was, why do they need to wait for Rosh Hashanah l'Melochim? If the Melech died, then automatically he went to Yerusha for the child. The son says is not so quickly. He says, even if the father dies, there needs to be an approval. Because you need to approve the person who is the Yirei Shemayim. You understand? And since you need to have an approval, but what don't you need to have? You don't need to prove that he's a chacham. Because if he's a chacham, what do? If he's a chacham ktsat, a little bit, so you'll teach him. You'll teach him. So it's interesting. A person that's not a Yirei Shemayim, oh wait, you're not going to teach him. Maybe in 2 years. But a person that at least so what happens is the Melech dies, and there are other people that would be a far greater king, they're much smarter. But the child is Yirei Shemayim, then there is Yerusha. Now, so in the Rabbanus and in Chol HaMiluim, this can be a bit tricky. The father was a big Tamid Chacham. Big Tamid Chacham. The son, not such a big Tamid Chacham, but he's Yirei Shemayim. But he knows he's a Chacham Ktach. So what do?
Teach him.
Comes in there, you teach him. Right? So this is what's going to work out in the family.
Not all his kings,
we said there was corruption. There was corruption. I mean, if there was not corruption amongst the people, or they didn't have the power, they didn't have the power to push them out, but technically speaking, according to the halakha, they should have pushed out the bad kings. Yeah.
They should have.
Sure. You see clearly that's what it says. Only if the child is a Yirei Shemayim, if not, you push him out.
Who was the judge?
The Sanhedrin, the Beis Din. They should have approved. They should have negated the approval.
But this kid, not powerful.
I said it was corruption. That's what I said. The Rabbanim weren't leading, and the kings were leading, so they had no choice. That's right. They were afraid. Okay.
And because Shaul lost the Melucha, Yonatan was not ra'ui to get it anymore.
Right.
What happened to Shaul and Yonatan?
I'll show you later. There are discussions on first one of the Melucha, and we'll talk about it more in detail. I'll show you in
Shaul
was an exception
anyway.
He was an exception. What? I'll show you. We'll see more discussions as we continue. We'll pick specific kings as we move on. Now, I just want to show you the Kesef Mishnah on the right side, right, bit the free. He says, "Who uvanav sheimayz benoy oim atachta ve'in li elazeb ubad minayim l'chol parnasei Yisrael shabneim oim atachtayim." Every parnasei Yisrael, the president of the community, right? So what does he say? He says, "Tamad loima b'ker of Yisrael kol shehu b'ker of Yisrael." Any position of leadership in Klal Yisrael. This is how it works. So I'm showing to you that the source is what. Who's the source? That's the free. That's the actual source for this concept. By the way, take a quick look. No, here he doesn't discuss the issue. I want to show you one more thing. Take a look. Hoyim Amalei. Where do you know that if the son fills his father's shoes in Europe, but not in Chochmah, you still take him? Look at the source. The source of the Gemara in Ksubis. When Rebbe HaKadosh died, the Rebbe said as follows. Rebbe said, right? On the other hand, they still gave him the position. Why did the Rebbe do this? So you see what's really important is Yira and Chachma ready. You'll figure it out on the way. Okay, now, who else, Rabbi say? My Rabbi say, who else gets their father's position? You know who's the next person to get his father's position? In that we know in the Torah. The Kohuna. Right? Ezra, you mentioned this before. Kohen Gadol.
Kohen Gadol.
No, a regular Kohen is a Kohen. What's the difference? Huh? But the Kohen Gadol, what happens? It goes to his son. Okay? And now, let's analyze that and let's see why. What's the reason why? Because it's the exact same thing as the Melech. Alright, so I'll show you the.
Is there a pasuk for that? I mean, we know Elazar took it over for.
By the way, you want to see Elazar, I'll show it to you right now. By the way, before we continue here, if you take a look, you want to see about Elazar? Alright, take a look. Go back to that Kesef Mishnah on Zion that we just read. Yivatayus Kehanim, Tanya, we learn Tayus Kehanim. Yivon lahoyu lahem, ho'em hoyu lahem bo'anem, ho'yu koyz menachafin shpoy ho'yu shikulim kaliyod elezer v'isoma. You see the source. Yivonim, what happened? Lo'y hoyu lahem, they had no children. But if they had children, what would have happened? The children become Kehanim Yudayim. Right? Now, take a look at the Rambam. The Rambam writes this. Go two pages further. The Rambam in Hilchos Kli Hamigdash. Rambam writes as follows. He says in Halacha Chof, "Kishiyomus Hamelach, when the king dies, Oy Kohen Gadol, or Kohen Gadol dies, Oy Echad Misham Amunim, any of the official positions in the Beit Hamikdash, Mamidim Tachta Benoi, Oy Haroi LeYorsha." All right. Now you ready for the question? Who could tell me which person does not pass his position to his child? You know who doesn't pass his position to his child? One of the third level Kohen Gadol. What's the second level Kohen Gadol?
Gan.
What's the third level? Pasha Shoftim. Mashiach Muhammad. Right? Why do I call it a third level Kohen Gadol? Because when the Gemara in Masechus Makis has a question, when it says the Kohen Gadol dies, who, right? Then the Ritzeach leaves Golis. Who can that be? Either the Kohen Gadol, or the Skam Kohen Gadol, or the Mashiach Muhammad. Right? So he was the third in line to the Kohen Gadol. The Rambam comes along, and the Rambam tells us the new halacha. And the new halacha is that the Kohen Gadol goes by Yerusha. The Melech goes by Yerusha. But if the Mashiach Muhammad dies, right, you know what the Mashiach Muhammad is? He's when they went to war, they had this special Kohen that would announce that whoever built a new house should go home, and whoever did this should go home, and, right? That's the Mashiach Muhammad. Mashiach Muhammad dies, no Yerusha. Now what's happened? Now suddenly we're seeing that even in positions, some positions go to children, some positions don't go to children. But get us thinking now. So take a look. Mashiach Mechama, Ein Pe'eloch HaKafalet, Ein B'noi Mitzmana Tachtav Lo'ilam. Mashiach Mechama, his son is out. Elohu Kishara Kehanim, he's like any other Kohen. In Nimshach Lemechama Nimshach, in Lo'i Nimshach, Lo'i Nimshach. He's a regular Kohen. Right? And where do you learn this from? So there's a Gemara in Masechet Yuma. Yachal, the Kesef of Mishnah on Halacha Chaf Aleph. Yachal, I would want to think. Yehei benoy shel koyet shel Mashiach Machal Meshamish Ketachtav. Tine kiderech shebenoy shel koyen gadol. Let the child of the koyen gadol have the Mashiach Machal be like the koyen gadol's son. Talmud loy leno. Shivet yamin yilvash hakoyen tachtav nidbonav. Asher yovei loy omoyet. Misherovei loy. Nisharoi Lovel Oil Mai. It's only the Kohen Gadol goes over to the son. It's not the Kohen Gadol, it's not go over to the son. Period. Okay? Skan is not mentioned. So far the Skan is not mentioned.
Right.
Alright? What's the position of the Skan? We'll have to talk about, but it's not mentioned. I'm just telling you that I have a Melech and a Kohen Gadol, yes. I have a Ramam that added Ho Amenuyim, all the positions in Klal Yisrael. The care of Yisrael, right? And now suddenly I showed you what the Rambam says. There's one position, and the Rambam said any shrora, right, leadership, and minuyin, any appointed positions, the Rambam said goes over to the child. Now suddenly the Rambam does a 360 and says, no, the Mashiach Muhammad does not go over the Yerusha to the child. So now I'm going to ask you a question. Is the Rav like the Melech, the Kohen Gadol, or like the Mashiach Muhammad? Because obviously there's an exception to the rule. What's the exception? Right? That's the important question. Okay. Now, comes along the Rashba, alright, in an absolutely a fascinating tshuva, and I want to show you what the Rashba writes. And from the Rashba, you might be able to, you'll get a tremendous insight. And now I'm going to tell you one thing. This is a Rashba, and on top of this Rashba, there's a tremendous machlokes in the Poskim. The Rashba had the following question that was posed before the Rashba. There was a certain city where there was a rabbi. There was a chazan. And the chazan was getting old. And as he was getting old, he kept on, what did he do, whatever he couldn't do for the Amish? Kept on pushing in his tongue. You ever see such things happen?
Yeah.
Huh?
Sure.
I was once in a shul on Rosh Hashanah.
Not
in Yerushalayim. Not in Yerushalayim, right? I was in the shul Rosh Hashanah, and it was one of the most famous Bavli Tfilot was supposed to daven for the Amish Rosh Hashanah. But it was at the time when he had his children were becoming of age, when he wanted to push them into the line. So he walked into the shul by, you know, the break, and he suddenly, when he came to say good yontif to everybody, he was very old. He had no voice whatsoever. I lost my voice right to yontif. My son is going to daven, and he's going to take so long. What are they going to say at that point? And they have no voice. I have no choice. The son happens to have daven beautifully, by the way. Beautifully. And now his son's a very famous Bal Tfilah. So, I could see where he came, and the people were fuming, you know, what kind of nervousness. And for some reason, at the end, when they came to say Yasher Koach, how good it was, he had his voice back miraculously. It was unbelievable. But this Chazan, suddenly he went, and every time he couldn't daven, and he pushed in his son. Okay. And as things were getting further, so he was trying to get a son with the position. So it became an issue, does the position automatically belong to his son? Or not, right? We take a look at the Rashba. You see, Rashba is right up to the Samsoifa. That's where it is. It's about 3 pages of Samsoifa, 4 pages.
But
yeah. Again, I want to backtrack. All the positions we're discussing till now, most of the positions got salary.
Right.
Because if you didn't get a salary, you had to make a living. You were the Gabi Tzedakah, you were the Panas Seir, you were the Melech, you had to get a salary somehow.
There's a remor.
I didn't skip the remor because I want to get more to the Rashba. Firstly, because the Saradim don't always go like the remor, number one. And many times they don't. the Rashba, the greatest chance you're going to follow the Rashba, then you're going to follow the Ramah. That's why I went straight to the Rashba. But the Ramah that writes that when you have a situation where you have there's an understanding. And the understanding is that the rabbi is hired temporarily, and we're the bosses, and we decide who's before and who's after. So the Ramah says in that type of situation, then it's like they hire them on a condition that there's no Yerusha. I agree. But that's a specific case. Many cases are not that way. Many cases are that the assignment is the best case. The best case is the Rav suddenly pulls into the community and he opens the shul. And once he opens the shul, slowly but surely people join him and people give money and they become the shul, right? So there are many cases where there are no conditions were actually made. All right? And the darkest places at times it did go over the children where there's no understanding. Yes, when there's a limited understanding, you're right. But if it's not the case, what's the story? And historically, there was not a specific understanding in most cases and what happened. So the Rashba is a very nice tshuva, and they kept on complaining on this cousin. So the cousin took out his contract, and it's very interesting. The Rashba writes very beautifully that the way his contract is written is that the contract is written that, technically speaking, that his job was to get the job done. Because Chazan then was not like today, comes just a few times a year for Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. He was there, he was the Balkaira, every single week he read the Torah, he did the Chazaret Hashat, he did it every week. So he wasn't allowed to go on vacation, of course he was allowed to go on vacation, but when he went on vacation he had to get a replacement for himself. So he says that if you read the contract, you see, it's an obligation. You're having a special enjoyment already from this subject. So you know what? You should take the time to read the Rashba.
I'm afraid.
Read the contract. Read the contract. The Rashba's contract is beautiful, what they had with him.
Well, what did you argue
about the contract? On the contract, yeah, listen. His decision was at the end. His decision was at the end. The Rashba says that the arrangement was that he's not going to do it every time. And if he can't do it, if he brings his son in, that's considered good enough. Okay. Then the Rashba at the end of the tshuva throws in the line. And this line, he throws a real monkey wrench at the end of the tshuva. He says as follows. He says, Va'oit, alright, go all the way to the end of the tshuva to Rashba, by the dot. Shafilo loy hoya av yocha lamad b'shimushoy im ha-ben roi l'kach. Now let's say, he says, the Rashba says, forget about the fact that in our case it's a special contract. But let's say we had no contract whatsoever. He says, if the son is royal kach, even though there's another chazan in the area who has a better voice and he's a better balkilah than the first one, shira tadin would be appropriate, he says, shiyehu koydim l'chol odom, the son should go before every person. The Rashba doesn't write that you have to. The Rashba says it's appropriate. Why? He says, what's the reason why? Since I see that the minhag or some mekamot, that the minhag of these places were that the bonim mismanim midas hatzibah chazanim takas ha'ovid, that the children usually get their father's positions as chazanim, and it goes over many, many generations this way, therefore it's appropriate to give it over to the child. That's what the Rashba writes. Comes the Chassam Sofer, the Chassam Sofer says, well, what's going on over here? What's the Rashba talking about? The Rashba says, when a person's a chazan, why should you make his son into the chazan? Why? Because of the minhag. But if there would be no minhag, you don't have to give it to the son. So the Chassam Sofer asked, what's going on over here? We learned the Rambam. And the Rambam told us that there's a concept of who one of the care of Yisrael, that every time you have a position, Shrora, Minuyin, who does it go to? Father the son. So why is the chazan not automatically passed from father to son? Isn't that an appointed position? Isn't that Torah? Right? That's the question that I'm sorry to ask on this Rashba. So suddenly we see that the Rambam that said that all across the board, everything goes over father to son. We have two steps, Mashiach Muhammad and Chazanim. Maybe Chazanim is Mashiach Muhammad, son, right?
Yes,
Again, one second.
Question. He's continuing.
Yeah,
you
read the rest.
The
Manag
is not the opposite, so.
Oh, you mean the Rash is saying the Manag is not the opposite? I can read the Rash for the way you're saying. It's interesting.
Because you say you got to, the reason is, and you know, you.
Yes, and the funny thing is the Rashi at the end quotes the Gemara and the Rambam and everything, right? But the Chassidus is bothered that you read the Lashon of the Rashi, but he shows weakness. Why should he assume the Minhag is the other way? Why does the Chassidus have to write? Why the Rashi have to write that at all? I agree with you. You can read the Rashi the way you're reading it. I thought about that too. That can be a possible answer to the Rashi, but the Chassidus doesn't take that for face value. I want to read what the Chassam Sofer says, because he has a very interesting opinion. Go to the Chassam Sofer in Shuva Yud Beis, who is a major site of a certain city, and, you know, take a look at page 10 of the Chassam Sofer, and we'll read that paragraph. Imash HaSorach La'ayim Lashon Rashba B'Shuva Sof Simen Shin V'Oyt Shafil Lo Yoya Av Yochel Lama B'Shimushoy Im HaBen Roya L'Kach Shuva Tadin Sheyeh Who could Machal Adam? See the Fimash and Iroim and Hag Oitan Amakoim, Sabonim, Mismanim, Midas, Hatsiba, Chazonim, Sachas, Avoitam. The cloud God of Omru, the Chol, okay, now. The Lushan Zeh, Sorach Ian. You see the end of the paragraph. My Tama Tolly Zeh, the Minhoger, even Shadin Toyakaku. But see, my Tama Tayyah, the Das Hatsiba, even Shakoifan Oitam, Akor, Limnoit, Sabden Takasov. The see, my Hatsu, the Koin Godel, the Kavan, my Hatsu, the Koin Godel, Binion Zeh, right? You know, I also thought about what you're saying, but the bottom line is the Chassidus is bothered that the Rashba is coming on for too many reasons. If there's a Rambam, and the Rambam quotes us the three, and we have a Tosefta, and the Gemara says that they go Melech, Kohen Gadol, Menuyim, goes Father the Son, B'Kerem Yisrael, period. Why do we have to come on to all these extra added additions to the Rashba? So the Chassidus says, possibly, go to the next paragraph, and he says, he quotes the concept of the Mashiach Mohammed. Why is he exempt, like the Rambam says? Why does it not go to his children? So the Chassam Sofer says as follows. He says, V'kosha, migora mishari mini Yisrael, al korchoch, you see in the middle of the next paragraph, Banil and Yisaiti, mukach mizeh, the loinema dovazeh ela b'melech yichadoyma, right? Loi kachol oitzna which the Tosfos brings in Sota Daf Mem Aleph, which are as follows. What is the list of Minuyim and Shoytrim that it does go B'Yerusha? Shoytrei Rabim, right? The Shotrim, Gabi Tzedakah, Sofrei HaDayonim, that's the writers, the stenographers of the Dayonim, Makim B'Tzuis, those that beat up the people, right? Aber Kol Mini Kedusha Ein B'Chlal Zeh. Look at this, Chan Sofer comes up with a Kedush which is phenomenal. He says it has to be a position. It has to have, you have to have certain rights because of your position. But if you're Kedusha, what do? You're Shliach Tzibah. You get up in front of the Kahal, and you bring this Tfilot to Hashem. So, what position do you have? You don't have a position. You're doing a Shlichut from the Tzibur of Kedusha. Comes the Chassam Sofer. Gala Tzedakah had rights and power. They were able to go to people and tax them and force them. It was Shotrim. They had an official position. The Panasagir made decisions on behalf of the people. Right? Now comes the Chassam Sofer in the next tshuva. You're going to... They had powers. They wrote letters. They wrote the Siddur to this one, and they wrote, you have to be here within 10 minutes in front of the Beit Din. You know what kind of power these people had? Their position was Shrura, leadership. The Minuyin, the appointed positions, had to be a position where you had rights because of your position, the Chassam Sofer says. But if your position was not a position that gave you rights, it's nothing. The king had rights. The Mashiach Muhammad had no rights. He went up, he took a siddur, and he read a chumash, and he read Parshas Shoftim. That's what he did when he came to war. He held the faith of Torah. He was like a shlich siddur, like a chazan. It's a tremendous chiddush of the Chassam Sofer. And the Chassam Sofer says, according to that concept, the Chassam Sofer says, now I have a clear understanding. We have Keser Malchus, Keser Kehuna, and Keser Torah. We know that, we said right away, that Keser Torah is what? Doesn't go be Yerusha. The Chassam Sofer says, that's the answer. Because the Rav, right? The Chacham, what's his job? To teach the Torah. It's not a position on the Tzibur that forces people to do things. He has an obligation to teach Torah. So that's a mini Kedusha. It's not a mini Asrara that some Sofer says. So the Rav is not the Yerusha from father to son. Fascinating, right? Take a look, Tezayin. You got the top Talmud Tezayin?
Why the Rav is the Rav of Asrara?
Oh, wait, so slow down. So now, then he goes back, and sometimes it's a very fascinating thing. He said, from the time of Hillel and on, there was first the Nesiyim, and there was the Nasi, and there was the Rabbonim. So the Rabbonim did not go be Yerusha, the Nasi went be Yerusha, because the Nasi was the leader of a powerful position. The Magen Avraham writes, Magen Avraham you should read, and the Chuvah Rashdam, fascinating, and the Machzor HaShekel that discusses it, that what happened over the generations, they realized that the Nasi was too powerful, but the Nasi was turning corrupt. Tamid Chacham was not powerful, but he was not corrupt. What happened was, but the corrupt person had the power. So eventually they went from the Hillel and all these different people, from the Reb Gamliel, and they integrated that the Tamid Chacham became the Nasi. So that's when, from the Gamliel's time, it kept on going down through generations, it did go to Yerusha. Because they made the Tamid Chacham into a position of Shrora, of leadership. Okay? So now, but if you simply, you read the last paragraph, Hayoytim is there, the Chacham Sofer writes. So then the Chacham Sofer wrote the Tshuva, and then there was a lot of trouble, he got a lot of letters, all kinds of different ways, from many different Rabbanim. And if you take a look, in the next Tshuva, in Tshuva Yud Gimel, the Chacham Sofer backtracks. And he says, you're right that I wrote that a Talmid Chacham does not have the ability to give his position to his child. But he says, wait, a Talmid Chacham today is a whole different story. Why? Let's look at this. I go to page Yud Zayin. I found these truths, these subjects are so fascinating because you don't think about it usually. You see the halachas on them. He says, on the second column on the left, V'omnam hayoyim chazati, today, he says, however, today I went back, the Yamti Bezel Lekayim Divrei HaRamah, because till now he was working with the Ramah, and he says that the Ramah, even though the Ramah rules that a Rav does give over his position, so if it says, depends what type of position, if it's the Rav like the Nesiyim or not, or a regular Rav, the Vavi Nasi Toyer Bezman Hazer, have a Kimini Kedusha Levad, Bezman Hazal, right? Achshav Hu Kimishubud Lekol, today the Rav is not a Rav. The Rav today has many obligations to the Kahal, and he has to go and make sure that there are all kinds of decisions made on behalf of the community. He gets paid for this, right? Why is the Rav getting paid? If he was sitting and learning, he didn't have to pay him. The problem is the Rav doesn't have the time to sit and learn. He's busy with all the everything else that's still and gone. But the Gor Mishat, so if that's the case, he's not less than the Shat. So he says, what do you want? He has a job. The Rav pretty much is making decisions, and he has a job. So because he happens to be a Talmid Chacham, it's going to be worse. So at the end, he sort of comes back, and he says, Harei kamon, b'mehil v'yelech, av pishuhu nasi tayre mekalmokin. So he still has, it becomes like the other positions, where the Rav's position also goes over. But now let's say you had a Rav, and I'll talk about this next week more, who historically, in every city, there was the Rav that made the decisions on behalf of the community, and then there were Dayanim, Poskim, right? What do? They sat in the corner, and people came to them with questions, right? You had that in the city?
No.
Right, so always with certain people in the community that answered all the questions, right?
Yeah, one coming from one of the rabbis, and then another group said they were using Pyrex.
Okay, so we can talk about the Pyrex question another time. It's an interesting question. We can talk about it, but they were. So how about those people? Did their positions go over to their children? I'm going to some side, absolutely not. That's not a position, that's just Kedusha, that there's nothing. But then the Chacham Sofer goes and he adds on something else, which I don't know where he got it from. The next line of Chacham Sofer says, he says, however, the Rav HaRoshi, the top rabbi of a community, of not just of one kehilah, but of many communities, the Chacham Sofer says, that does not go be Yerusha. Because that simply depends if you're the most learned or not the most learned. Look at the next paragraph. You got to be bigger than all the other Rabbanim, so then you can't say Yerusha. Well, I know what Chacham Sofer says it from a Svara.
Why Kohen Gadol?
I don't know. I'm telling you, but Kohen Gadol is totally in Sitkis, not totally in knowledge. Chacham Sofer is saying that the chief rabbi of all the communities is knowledge. Right? You need one rabbi who makes a decision for many communities, that's in a different level. Okay, the Shishalo Piv, the main to go from him. Then the Chacham Sofer says, but if you want me to make a decision on this rabbi we're discussing, if he's greater than all the other rabbis, he says, what's going to happen is, I'm going to be Matl Kaitzim Be'enehab Rabbonim, and therefore I'd rather not speak. And he says, I'll leave that question alone. I'm not going to paskin if this rabbi is greater than all the other rabbis or not. That's what Chacham Sofer writes. Now, if you just take a look in the previous paragraph,
when he says that, by not saying,
you are a saying. Yeah, but listen, he refrained from saying. If you just look in the previous paragraph, on the previous page, right on top of Tshuva Yizgimel, there's a little addendum there. The other Chacham Sofer addresses what was the debate between Moshe Rabbeinu was with the Rabbanim Shlomo regarding his children getting involved. And why his children were not Zoicha. It's an interesting discussion. There's much to discuss. I just wanted to point out to you one more thing. If you look at the last page of Maamar Kamos, Rav Volzner writes from Shuvin Sheva Halevi that in the situation that I discussed before, where the rabbi comes into a community, and there's no shul. Well, there is a shul. The rabbi says, I'm going to make a shul. And after he makes a shul, so it starts slowly building more and more and more. Before you turn around, there's a big crowd and everybody's very happy. He says, that rabbi might be a pastor. Because that rabbi, since he had a chelik in the building of the shul, in creating of the shul, the actual being of the shul might be his creation. So Chacham Sofer says, maybe in that case already there, the Shevet HaLevi writes, maybe in that case there is Yerusha in that case. Okay, so just as a general overview, the pashtus, Rabbanus does get Yerusha, the pashtus, it should go down the Yerusha, but that's only with Rabbanus that comes along with decisions, or Rabbanus that comes along with partnership, but Rabbanus that is strictly Torah, there's a disagreement. Some agree with some Sofer and some don't agree with some Sofer. And this subject I don't intend to be Machri Allah Ma'isa because I just want to hire these issues. What's that?
You have a new
Tehillah
to hire the rabbi.
It's going to be
the rabbi of the shul. And they put into the contract
to bring in the Yerusha. So that, the Ramon Shulchan says that when you have a case where there's a clear understanding, so then there's no Yerusha. That's what the Ramah writes. Yes,
there's no shul, but the people come to the shul after the rabbi.
That's not so simple. We'll discuss soon, and we'll do that by the next year, as I said, where there are disagreements between the community and the... You see, so far we only discussed, you have two people come to be rabbi. One person says, I'm the rabbi, because my father was the rabbi. And you say, you want to be the rabbi, because you feel you're a better rabbi. So there, if my year is as great as yours, even if your chassid is better, I become the rabbi. But you're asking what happens when the community says they don't want. That we'll have to talk at the next topic of its own, to discuss how we'll deal with that.